Good morning. I'm Mark Elm with Gabor.io, and I'm here today with Ben Kanner, the CEO of Workly. Good morning, Ken. Ben, how you doing?
Good morning, Mark.
Well, thanks for joining us today. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Yeah, sure. Happy to do so. So I've done a lot of different things in the business world. Came out of college and didn't really know what I wanted to do, and ended up getting a job during the mortgage crisis selling subprime mortgages. And I couldn't have told you what happened, but at the end of the day, I knew that what we were doing probably wasn't sustainable. And so, you know, I was lucky enough to be able to parlay that into a real estate job, and ended up working for Deutsche Bank for a number of years in their portfolio management division. So doing a lot of finance, alternative investments, as well as, you know, helping to manage a $4 billion real estate portfolio. So a good Jewish boy working for Z Germans, but it was a great experience. And then ended up having the opportunity to go back to business school. Actually, coincidentally, during the financial crisis, I wasn't going to lose my job, but at the same time, you know, obviously for somebody in real estate, there wasn't really upward mobility or sideways mobility to another company because everybody was losing their shirts in that last crisis around 2008. So did that, ended up going back into finance after business school, but I thought, hey, if there was something that I, you know, if I was going to go back to finance, I want to feel good about what I'm doing. So went and worked in renewable energy for Rabobank in their renewable energy and infrastructure team. And then, you know, ended up jumping over to the entrepreneur side of the equation, just with a few friends, thought it'd be a good opportunity in the restaurant space, creating software for restaurants. Selling to restaurants is a difficult task. Especially if you're on the cost side of the equation, not the revenue side of the equation, but did gain some extremely valuable insights. That business is still going, by the way, but gained some extremely valuable insights. And then, you know, had the opportunity to look at my family's business, my father's business specifically, around consulting, safety consulting, and, you know, realized that he had done this for 40 years. And maybe there was a way to take his one-on-one consulting and turn it and make it much more scalable by leveraging technology. And so that's what we set out to do. And, you know, that's what we've been doing for the past 4 years here.
Cool. Well, WorkLead, it's an interesting name. It combines work and athlete. So I'm assuming your company has something to do with the athletics of work. Why don't you tell us what WorkLead does and who is your typical target audience?
Absolutely. So, you know, exactly. You know, it's... you know, we want you to work like an athlete. And what we really mean by that is our core is that we want you to talk, we would talk about human movement. And by virtue of teaching people how to move correctly, they're going to be further away from injury, right? We all have this amazing machine that is the human body. Unfortunately, most of us don't know how to use it, right? And that sets us up for pain and then sets us up for injury down the road. Now, some of us are more at risk than others. Obviously, if I'm working in a warehouse, we're doing very physical work all the time. I think there's 91 million Americans classified by the Bureau of Labor Statistics that are doing medium to heavy hard work on a daily basis. And if I'm doing that hard work and I'm not using my body correctly, then I'm going to be more likely to get injured. And we're talking back injuries, shoulder injuries, right? Musculoskeletal injuries, right? So, you know, back to my father, he was a professional athlete. He knew how to use his body. And when I came along, you know, my mom told me I need to get a real job, and his buddies who are firefighters were getting very injured, and it wasn't smoke inhalation and burns, it was musculoskeletal injuries, right? Pulling hose, throwing ladders, it's very physical work, running into burning buildings. He knew he couldn't tell firefighters, hey, you got to think about what position your back is in, because again, they're running into burning buildings, right? But he did realize from his athletics that, you know, if he could teach people to move correctly and teach people how to use their bodies correctly, create habits around this, then they would be more likely to be able to do anything that they needed to do, whether it's at work or really any time in their life. Your body doesn't know the difference, and they'd be further away from injury. So he did that for 40 years, you know, taught 10,000 plus people, but it was one-on-one. So we took that same concepts, leveraged technology, and now we can work with some of the biggest, we do work with some of the biggest companies in the world, very large distributed frontline workforces, a lot of people that are not sitting at desks all day long, although this stuff applies to a desk worker as well. And we do work with some folks like that, because again, we all have the same body. There are rules for human movement. And if we can get you to follow those rules, then you're going to be further away from injury.
Yeah, and I have to ask you, you look like an athlete. Have you played some competitive sports?
I was lucky enough. Unfortunately, my sport broke my body down, and maybe this is one of the reasons why I appreciate this so much. But yes, I played football and rugby in high school, and then I was lucky enough to go to Cal and play rugby at Cal. So I played varsity sports through college. I was more of the, world championship, tackling dummy because I was a little bit more focused on the academics, but at the same time, it was a great experience. And yes, it's, athletics have carried me through, but at the same time, you know, due to the physical nature of the sport that I played, as well as, you know, just lifting a lot of weights and, you know, being active and most, even just having activity, you know, over time, if you're not doing things the right way, your body does break down. So, you know, I've had to focus even more on keeping myself away from pain and being able to continue to be active since, you know, I've had a number of injuries in my life.
It's interesting. Yeah. Cause I'm a hockey player. We, you know, as hockey players,
it's like playing a contact sport on concrete, basically. I mean, it's
we think you rugby players are crazy.
So. Yeah, we think you hockey players are crazy. So, I mean, you know,
I understand. So, I'm going to go into two different things. I'm going to go into your target audience, which is the people that are out in the field working hard labor job. And then go back into my field, which is, you know, technology, which I think it definitely applies to. So, I'm assuming the big ROI for your product to the typical company who has the field worker is a reduction in workers' comp costs. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, that's a primary one. Both reduction in direct workers' compensation costs, so the cost of injuries. But then you also get, you know, even the slightly direct costs that going towards more indirect costs, but lost time, lost productivity. I mean, even if, you know, you're working in a warehouse and you get some sort of an injury, you know, there's a lot of programs in place where people will give you, will put you in a different job. So, you know, it's not that you're losing, you're actually out of work, but you're doing an alternate task. They still have to hire somebody or, you know, a replacement or get somebody else to work overtime. So even though that's not necessarily costing the money a specific amount and you're completely out of work, they're repurposing you. It actually, you know, is still quite significant in terms of cost. And then obviously if you are actually out of work, that lost, the lost time is an extremely big factor in terms of cost for companies.
Yeah, and we're not even talking about the health benefits of this, which I think are probably the biggest benefit of all to the actual person, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we all want to talk about, I'd prefer to talk about, hey, like, let's keep all your people safe and, you know, healthy. By the way, we're going to save you a bunch of money. Unfortunately, usually it's, hey, we're going to save you a bunch of money. And by the way, we're going to keep your people really healthy. I shouldn't say that. I mean, that's not completely accurate. I mean, a lot of our clients, especially as you get down into, you know, the mid-market clients, and that's not to say that the big companies don't care, but they have more statistical significance in terms of the injuries, right? And so, you know, if we can drop injuries by 25%, by 50%, you know, these big companies are going to save a lot of costs. Littler companies don't have enough as many injuries, right? One injury could be, you know, catastrophic in terms of costs and all these things. So we do want to mitigate those. But at the same time, these companies are looking to our solution to, you know, reduce injuries, but also to, you know, use it for recruiting and retaining employees, right? There's a shortage on the front line out there in terms of truck drivers, in terms of nurses, in terms of construction workers, really everybody. I mean, this is hard work, and there's a shortage in a lot of different industries. So a company needs to be able to attract employees. I mean, how do I differentiate myself from the other competition out there in the marketplace that are trying to hire the same people? They need to retain those employees as well, meaning, hey, I want to keep them working. I don't want them to be injured and go out of work, but also, like, how do I prevent them to going to a competitor down the road, right? So that's a big factor that we see as well, and a benefit to this. It becomes kind of, you know, like a health and wellness benefit to some extent, because, you know, we've been really great at doing that for the white collar workforce, not so great, you know, now it's catching up, but the blue collar workforce has, you know, been a little bit laggard in giving employees those types of benefits. You know, we also are talking about skill building. So this is not only musculoskeletal stuff, but we have a very flexible platform. So we can build, help build other skills. We can help digitize other workforce or workflows, meaning that these frontline workers have to do a bunch of stuff in their daily tasks. So like take a truck driver, for example. They need to do a pre-trip inspection, right, on their truck. It's DOT required. A lot of it has been paper-based in the past and is just becoming more electronic. We've digitized that workflow for many of our clients so that this is something that these folks can access on a mobile device, something that they have in their hand all the time. And it's one place that they can go. They can go to Workly to do anything that they need to do. Again, we're kind of becoming this frontline cockpit because there's so many of these workflows that these, you know, deskless frontline workers are doing every day. And it's the old way of doing things. It's paper-based. It's in multiple disparate systems. It's a bunch of big jumbled mess. So if we can give them one place to come do this and do it electronically, it's a big benefit to saving time and getting the job actually done.
Very cool. So, and now let's talk about the other workforce, which is, you know, the technical workforce, which is the world I live in. I mean, yeah. I have to believe, like, because you're right. Most people are like this all day, right? And that's got to be bad for you over, you know, a long period of time. So I got to believe that this would has huge benefits for those people. And in terms of just overall well-being and the ability to comfortably do your job, correct?
Yeah. I mean, look, again, we all have this amazing human, this amazing machine that is the human body. Again, you know, some people innately move very well. Most people don't, they have to focus on it. And, you know, unfortunately, as we get older, our muscles kind of want to turn off a lot when we're like resting. If you look at a little kid and they do a squat, you're like, wow, that's amazing form. Almost every one of them, that's amazing form, right? And then over time, you know, it's not actual, you know, laziness, like conscious laziness, it's unconscious laziness. Our bodies just kind of want to turn off. I mean, if any of us have sat at a sporting event, or stood at a sporting event, I should say, for a long period of time, you know, you start feeling that lower back pain. And that's because our core is turning off. So if we can consciously just squeeze our butt, engage our abs, you're going to feel that lower back pain go away. It's the same thing if I'm sitting at a desk all day long, right? There's this one thing that comes to mind. We were pitching to a company that had a lot of frontline employees, big solar company that is now part of another company, but it'll remain nameless. But you know, the guy's like, oh, we do all this great stuff for our employees, blah, 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 all this stuff. But like, yeah, we need it for our frontline employees. We've got stand up desks for our work, our office worker, all these things. And we're like, great, that's great. Okay. Shake hands. Everybody's going. We're all happy, you know, and we walk out of the conference room and the first person we see is an engineer. And they're at their stand-up desk and it's raised to the highest point, but then he has a chair or a stool that's just as high and he's slumped over his computer like this, right? So we can have the best engineering in the world and ergonomics and all these different types of things, but if we don't use it, if we don't interact with it correctly with our bodies, it's not gonna do us any good. So yes, this applies to everybody, because again, we all have the same human body and it all works basically in the same way.
Yeah, and I have to be honest, the thing I find most fascinating about your solution is the amount of time it takes per day. So why don't you tell people actually how long it takes per day to achieve these results?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we say it takes about 2 minutes per day. And really, it's all about habit creation. We know from behavioral science that, human beings learn through repetition, right? It takes 30 days to create a habit. Actually, it also takes 30 days to lose a habit. So it's not only I need repetition in order to create one, but I also need to keep doing it or it's use it or lose it. So, you know, if we just have somebody logging into our application, learning a little bit, maybe doing a daily check-in and not actually learning anything, but still just going in and getting that reminder or having a notification or something like that, it becomes very powerful, right? And so if I can have that consistency over time, that's how I'm actually going to build these habits. We want to get people from this idea of unconscious incompetence, meaning that they don't even know they're doing something wrong, to conscious incompetence, meaning they know they're doing something wrong, but they don't know how to fix it. And most people are probably in that realm, to conscious competence, which means that they know they're doing something wrong. They know how to fix it, but they consciously have to think about how to fix it in order to do it, to unconscious competence, meaning I no, I know I'm doing something wrong, but I don't even need to think about it. I just do it right, right? So I'm doing it unconsciously. So we want to move people on this progression, again, create habits, and people do that through repetition. You know, my dad had this great consulting business, but it was one-on-one consulting. He'd have you for a day, a few days. It was great, but then smoke bomb, poof, he's out and you never see him again. And that's actually not how you build habits. So I would even argue that the way that we're doing it today, the ability to lever technology, especially mobile technology, where we have it in our hand all the time, is an extremely powerful tool that we need to leverage.
Yeah, this, it sounds great. I think I'd like to sign up for it because it'll help me with my everyday life. So
you and your golf swing too. So
wow, that I don't think anything can help me with that.
You might have other problems, but at least we'll set the foundation up so that, you know, at least we've got a good foundation for you.
We'll talk in a month. We'll see where
okay.
I am.
Okay. So, sounds good.
Well, Ben, it's been fascinating talking to you. It's interesting. Normally we talk about remote work, but the majority of your people that use your product work remotely. You actually help people, you know, whether they work remotely or work in an office, correct?
Yeah, that's it, Mark. And I mean, you know, we've taken a really hard look at, you know, how do we get our solution out there in the best way? And, you know, the trend of mobile devices, I mean, 80% of people in their personal life in the United States have a smartphone, right? Or at least a mobile device. You know, I think it's something like 50% of workers and these frontline workers, these deskless workers have a company issued device. That's going quickly to 60-70%. Because companies realize that, you know, hey, I've got this smartphone in my hand in my personal life. Why wouldn't I have it? You know, why wouldn't I give it to my employees so they can be more productive, you know, outside? There's been a lot of trends, you know, electronic logbook mandates from the government in terms of having something in trucks. So most trucks have some sort of an iPad or some sort of a device in there. So, you know, all these trends and then COVID comes along. And, you know, I'm a warehouse worker. I can't even clock in on the regular machine every day because we can't keep it sanitized. So, like, you know, I need to be able to utilize probably my personal phone in order to do that. So all these trends have been pushing towards, more mobile devices in the workforce. I mean, this is something that we can leverage because these employees have this in their hand all day long. Unfortunately, like you and I, or not unfortunately, but you and I have this opportunity to be in front of a computer all day long, right? We are connected, right? These folks don't. They're in the field. They're in a warehouse. They're, you know, a lineman, you know, fixing phone lines. They're in a truck, you know, doing deliveries, all these different types of things. So we need to give them these solutions and give them these tools where they are and in a mode that is easily delivered to them. So, you know, again, we're kind of, luckily, right place, right product, right time. But, you know, it's all being enabled by these trends of mobile technology in the workplace.
Yeah, great. So, well, thank you again for your time and have a great day.
Thanks, Mark.